Morning to you all. Appreciate the words of the Lord this morning. It's always nice when you prepare a message and you're wondering, Lord, is this even in the realm of what you want to say? And then it comes out in prophecy. The Lord was speaking about the wisdom from above, and that's exactly what I'd like to share on with you this morning. And it's really birthed out of a situation where we were asking the Lord, Lord, we need to know your plan. We need to know what you think about this situation. And we are really crying out to God for wisdom. And the Lord has really impressed upon us the need to receive wisdom from heaven. Right? We can make our decisions. We can do what seems right in our own eyes. But we know from the book of Judges that doesn't turn out too well. When everyone did what was right in their own eyes, it was pretty disastrous. But when we have God's wisdom upon us, there's fruit, right? The fruit of wisdom is so good, and it's so perfect, and it's eternal. Of course, there's that other outcome we mentioned, right? The fruit of the wisdom from below is so destructive, and it doesn't last. The destruction lasts until God fixes it, but, you know, the fruit is so horrible, and so we desperately need the wisdom of heaven in our day, because the wisdom that we follow will determine our destiny on earth and in eternity. Now, I was listening to an old recording of Pastor Bailey, as I'm sure many of us like to do at times, and sometimes you hear stories that you haven't heard in quite a while or haven't heard before, because he had so many. But I was listening to one of them, and he had Sister Bailey come to share before he spoke. And the Lord had given her a vision of a time when they were in Africa. And in the vision, she saw a pastor friend of theirs who had a large church in the United States, and she saw him in the vision standing at a crossroads. And he was just standing there contemplating, well, what way should I go? And she said at that moment, she was allowed to feel what he was feeling, right? That indecision. And she was just asking the Lord, Lord, how is he going to know which road to take? Because it's so uncertain. And the Lord spoke to her and said, if he asks me for grace, I'll guide him and show him the road to take. But then the Lord did something else. He took her to the end of the road for each pathway. And he took her down one way, and she said the light just kept increasing and increasing and increasing, and it got so glorious, you know, and she was feeling it. She said she got a taste of that glory, and it was so wonderful. And the Lord spoke to her through Proverbs 4:18, the path of the just grows brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. And that was a glorious road. It was so wonderful. And she was excited for him. But then the Lord took her down the other road. And I think we know what's coming, right? It was the opposite direction. The problem was it looked very good. It looked almost identical. That's why this pastor was having trouble. But it's interesting how she described it. She said there was light down that road, and it had to do with the anointing. It seemed good. It seemed like the Lord was in it, but she said that light was, and this is the term she used, scintillating. And it's the idea that it's kind of flashing. It's not constant, right? It's not continually going, and it's not definitely not increasing. You know, there were flashes of light, but instead of growing, it became dim. And the farther on the path she went, the darker it became. It led into a dark wood and eventually into a swamp. And the Lord spoke to her about that pathway from Proverbs 14 and verse 12. There is a way that seems right to man in our own eyes, but the end is death. Right? The end is a lack of life. And the Baileys went and shared this vision with the pastor, and unfortunately he chose the second pathway that seemed right to him. And it was sorrowful because the Lord showed them the end of the pathway. And that's it. They had a perspective that this man didn't, well, he did because they shared it with him, but he ignored it. But they experienced the end of both of those pathways. Right? And that was what was so significant. But it's significant to us because in life we face similar crossroads, similar places where we have to make a decision, which way should I go? And wisdom sees the end of the pathway. We see the beginning, right? Wisdom sees the end. And that that's why wisdom is so vital in our days, that we receive the wisdom. Because sometimes, right, we are seeing the opposite. Sometimes the second pathway looks better than God's way, right, in our eyes, because we're only seeing the beginning. Right? The deceiver is very good at making his pathway seem great in the beginning. Then the farther down we go, the less he has to make it look good, because we're stuck on that way. And so we so need wisdom. And so for a moment, if we could turn to James chapter 3, because he has a lot to say about wisdom. We'll just consider a few thoughts from that, but specifically the fruit of wisdom. So James 3, and let's read verses 13 through 18. And he asks that question, who is a wise man? Who is endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your heart, don't glory in that. Don't lie against the truth. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace, them that make peace. And so James is obviously discussing wisdom, but he brings out the importance of the source of wisdom. And that's really the key. Because as in that vision, the pathways look very similar, right? But the key is the source. Where is that the origination of that wisdom coming from? Because that determines which pathway we're going to go on. And so it's important for us to understand the source of wisdom. And James tells us there's the wisdom that's from above. It's from heaven, and the fruit of that wisdom is so good. And then there's the wisdom that's not so good. But if we follow the wisdom of heaven, there's peace, there's joy, and that will be on our pathway, filling our pathway as we walk with him. It just increases. But the real danger is following that wisdom that's not from above, that's from below. Because the fruit of that wisdom is strife and all manner of unpleasant things that come because of following that way. And there's a progression we see in verse 15. It's earthly. Right? We can be earthly minded in that sense that as we live and we keep our perspective fixed on this earth, we don't obtain the perspective of heaven. That will affect our fruit. But it can increase. Right? It's sensual. It's a wisdom that only wants us to focus on fulfilling our desires, and then it can be devilish. Right? It's a wisdom that comes right from the pit, and its purpose is to lead us there. But what I want us to keep in mind, you know, from this passage is the danger of the wisdom of man, the danger of the wisdom that is from below. And what are we talking about? Below what? It's really anything that comes from below the realm of heaven, right? Anything in this world. When it comes from heaven, it will lead to good fruit. It will lead to everything that we're desiring and we're seeking after. But when it comes from below the realm of heaven, right, and we base our decisions on that and the direction of our pathway, it only produces one thing, bad fruit, right? Fruit that is not pleasant. Different translations list the different outcomes in verses 14 through 16, but generally the fruit of the wisdom from below is confusion, disorder, you know, bitter feelings, envy, jealousy, strife, selfish ambition. And so all of this fruit comes when we make a decision that's not based in the realm of heaven. And so the Lord has just been impressing upon me the importance of identifying the source of wisdom. But, you know, even the first category, earthly, you know, we realize it's not as bad as the next two categories of wisdom. But, you know, even earthly wisdom, just what seems good to us, can be so destructive to our lives, to our ministries, to our fruit. I remember I was with Pastor Bailey. We were meeting with a leader in a certain church, no one here, but he was just in that meeting, Pastor Bailey shared that he had a vision while he was meeting with that person. And he said he saw the pastor in a vision just surrounded by wood, right? Just totally surrounded by wood. And he said the Lord was speaking to him that this man was bound by human thinking, right? That the decisions he made were always going to be bound by human thinking, human perspective, or you could say earthly wisdom. And he said that is going to limit him. It's going to limit the effectiveness, the fruitfulness in his ministry. And that's what ended up happening. And, you know, we're in a time when, you know, as has been said, you know, we're not seeing the Lord move. And as in times past, you know, we're crying out, Lord, would you move? And, you know, in those times, there's things that we have to do. And then there's things we just have to wait on God to do. Right? There's our part, and then there's the supernatural that we desperately need if we're going to fulfill our vision. The problem is we could be tempted to try and make something happen. Lord, here's your vision, but nothing's happening yet. Maybe if I do this, I can make some things happen. Well, if it's not according to the vision of heaven, it will destroy our fruit. It will make us, you know, it will reduce what and basically make it impossible to fulfill what God is asking us to do. Sometimes we see other people that are very active, right? Other ministries, other churches, and so forth, and we say, man, maybe I should try a little bit of that. But what the question is, what is the source of their wisdom? Where did they get those ideas? Is it from heaven? Well, if it is from heaven, good for them. But the question is that the wisdom for us? For our lives that we are to pattern ourselves after. And that is such an important key. Because James says we are to seek the wisdom that is from above. Right? It's so wonderful because it produces good fruit. And let's read that account again in verses 17 and 18. It says, the wisdom that is from above is pure. It's peaceable. It brings peace. It's gentle. It's easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. It's the fruit, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Now, there's, you know, many of you have preached very long sermons and series on this, so we won't get into that. I'll bring out one aspect of wisdom that I've experienced and found the Lord teaching me about is peace. You know, is that peace is one of the signs of the wisdom from above. It's kind of like a signpost that when we're crying out to God and He doesn't give us the big picture often. Sometimes he just gives us that step. And how do we know it's right in our heart? We have peace. He directs us through peace. You know, Lord, is this the way I should go? Well, I don't understand it, and I don't know. I just see this step, but I have peace. So I'm going to walk in that way. Maybe some of you have been, you know, in meetings with Pastor Bailey where he was counseling and making decisions, and We were in several meetings, and I would remember that after we were done, I'd think, okay, it's time to go, but then he would say, wait, one more thing. And he would go around the room, and he'd say, do you have peace? Do you have peace? And if anyone said no, okay, hold on a second, let's go back and examine this. But usually it was like, okay, we have peace. That was the way that he was determining, this is wisdom. We have peace about it, or we're going to walk in this way. Because peace is one of the fruits, it's the sign of wisdom, that we're making right directions, that we're walking in the right way. Because we're making decisions that are impacting lives, churches, you know, and at certain levels, fellowships, missions, Bible schools in the nations, right? We have to have the wisdom from above. We have to be able to choose the way of heavenly wisdom in all of these areas, because in reality, they are the works that God is asking us to build, and we want them to last. We want them to be eternal, right? We're building the temples of the living God in our lives and in the lives of other people and in places in the earth. And, you know, if we want that to last, it's got to be by wisdom. You know, looking at the lives of David and Solomon, we kind of see a contrast of this. Now, David, we know, built his tabernacle and so forth, but he was involved in the building of the temple. The Lord told him, David, you can't build it. But he did everything else up to building that temple. In 1 Chronicles 28:19, speaking of the temple, he said, "In all this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me even all the works of this pattern of the temple." Speaking of that. And we know that David built the tabernacle, but he also got a pattern from heaven for the temple that Solomon built. We call it Solomon's temple, but really, David did pretty, 95% of the work in getting the pattern, getting the materials, and his son built it. But really, David obtained everything for his son. You could say he obtained the pattern, the materials, he stored them up so that the next generation could build that work and it would last. But their lives are such a contrast, because David, while we know he was not perfect, right? That's clear for us in Scripture, but he sought to do what was pleasing to God. And he ended up having such a close connection to heaven at the end that he was receiving divine patterns, from heaven of, this is how I want my temple to be built, my works to be established in the earth. It was divine. We study that today. It's a pattern of what the glory that God wants to bring upon his church. And he received that in his life and at the end of his life. But then we have Solomon. He started out so well. I mean, it's hard to understand when you study his life, how you can get from A to Z in his life, of such glory and then such spiritual poverty at the end. But he started well. He was the wisest man who ever lived. He built the temple. He spent 7 years, right? Seven speaks of perfection, right? That perfect work of establishing the temple. But we also know he built something else. He built his own house, and he spent 13 years building that. That's not a good number to be associated with the works that you're doing, right? The number of rebellion. But it's speaking to us of what his real focus in life was. He built his own works, and he built other works. It talks about how he built vineyards and houses and, cities and so forth. But at the end of his life, he said, it's vanity. It's empty. It was worthless. In fact, I was thinking, of all the works that David built, they are lasting and they're affecting the church, right? David's tabernacle is being restored in the church. Well, the temple speaks of the glory that's going to come upon the church. That's the pattern David received. What has lasted from Solomon? Nothing. Not even in biblical archaeology can we find anything that Solomon built that he's describing, of all the beautiful palaces and all the works that he built. There's nothing remaining, because he built in his own wisdom. That's what's so amazing about his story. He had vast resources of the wisdom of heaven resting upon him that he could have accessed. But instead, he chose to build according to his own wisdom. And he had nothing in the end. And so his story is a sad life, because he walked in his own wisdom and he had no fruit. It destroyed his fruit. And so we're called to walk in wisdom and to teach others to do so. John the Baptist came, we know, to prepare the way for the first coming of Christ. And it says something interesting about him in Luke 1, verse 17. It says, "And he shall go before him," meaning Christ, "in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." That was Elijah, or that was John the Baptist calling, but doesn't that mirror our calling so clearly? To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. But what do we have to do? To turn the disobedient, right? You could say the unwise, to the wisdom of the just, to the wisdom of God's ways, his righteousness. That's our calling. That's our purpose. And to do that, we need wisdom from above. We have to have that heavenly pattern received from God that we build upon. Right? If we build in any other way, will be unfruitful. And because that's going to make us ready. When we build according to God's wisdom, that will make us ready in our personal lives, in our churches and schools and the nations, is when we build. And what we want to watch out for is building according to any other pattern, according to any other way, any other standard. That will destroy our fruit. But the wisdom from above is going to bring good fruit. It'll be lasting fruit, eternal. And so let's cry out, Lord, I need your wisdom. Lord, in this situation, there's a way that seems right unto me, but the Bible says I shouldn't trust that way. Lord, give me wisdom. Help me to know what way I should go. You know, one thing that the Lord says, the Scripture says about wisdom, and it's kind of unique in James 1, it says it's impossible to ask for too much wisdom. Now, there may be some things that we shouldn't ask for too much for. Lord, bless me. We want those prayers to be, you know, there might be a limitation for some of that. Lord, provide for me. But, you know, God says it's impossible to ask too many times, Lord, give me wisdom. He says, you know, if any man lacks wisdom, come and ask. I'll give liberally, and I will not correct you for asking for too much wisdom. And I think in this day, that's so true. We cannot ask for too much wisdom. We can ask for too little, but we can't ask for too much. Because he wants to establish us. He wants to lead us in a pathway that grows brighter and brighter unto the perfect day as we build according to his pattern. Amen.